It's all us.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Blind Master, L.A. Williams. And this weekend, Sean and I are kicking it with the super coach, author of Flip the Switch, Coach Burt, who says,
humans have a prey drive. It's to see something in the mind, that's the imagination, and have the persistence and the intensity to pursue it. If you are not making enough money, it's typically a indicator that you are not distributing your God-given talents, in my opinion, at the highest level to the most people.
And how do you know this?
Because when I was a high school basketball coach, I felt like a level 10 person kind of stuck in a level 4 opportunity. I knew I had a bigger engine.
So how'd you rev it up?
My first coaching job, I made $199.50, but I treated it like I was coaching in the NBA. Every day, your current role is an interview for your next role.
Abso-dag-um-lutely. Ladies and gentlemen, this is L.A. Williams, the one and only blind master. And who do I have across from me but the one and only Mr. Sean V. Bradley, CSB. What's going on, Sean?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
Man, I'm ready to rock and roll, man. We got a phenomenal day ahead of us, man. How many people know it's going? I mean, it's going to be a huge day today. What you got coming down the pike is absolutely phenomenal. And see, y'all probably think I'm talking about something like, oh, what's so great about such and such and such and such. Aren't you going to live today? Man, I mean, that's the game plan, right? So we got to be pumped up, fired up, super excited, man.
No, I'm talking about LA. Listen, I am glad to be alive, man. There's so many amazing things that we're doing at our core company, Dealer Synergy. Mm-hmm. This Vice TV show, the season finale, man, everything's popping. We just are interviewing the most amazing people in the world. And like today, man, I'm really honored to be able to share with you just an amazing mind, a beautiful human being. And I'm gonna build it up. LA, throw some little ad libs in there about him. Like don't tell him who it is yet, but tell him who he's about. What is he about?
Man, listen, this gentleman is, I mean, he was a women's basketball coach, right? And that takes a lot just to kind of work with the youth, right? To work with different, just males, females, all different kind of things like that. He's a business coach, and I mean he just always pouring into folks. I mean,
LA, he's a rock star. Yeah. He's got a private plane flying all over the country. He's on stages like 10x, you know, with rock stars, and he's making a difference in people's lives. He's pouring into people, developing people to help them do more, be more, and achieve more. So who are we talking about?
He's got something called the Greatness Factory. That alone should tell you that the gentleman is absolutely phenomenal. So before we get all the way into it, man, I'm telling y'all, we bring into the microphone my main man, Mr. Coach Burt.
Coach Burt in the house.
Nice. That's a great intro, guys. Thank you for that.
Thanks so much. So listen, y'all, we're not going to talk really long. What we're going to do is take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to have a conversation with Coach Burt. It's Against All Odds.
Vice TV presents
I Was a Teenage Felon,
Season 2, starring Sean V. Bradley.
He's the king of clubs.
At 19 years old, part of a multi-million dollar international drug ring. Arrested by the Secret Service, DEA.
This was the largest ecstasy case in United States history.
And somehow this dude becomes a best-selling author and a mega millionaire when he gets out of prison.
Find out how only on Vice TV's I Was a Teenage Felon, Mondays at 10 p.m.
Exclusively on Vice TV.
Did you know that Car.com is a website to connect consumers like you, me, our parents, basically everybody to local car dealers? Car.com helps us find that perfect vehicle. From new vehicles to certified pre-owned, Car.com will help you find the best vehicle match. Car.com practically started the online car shopping experience. Peace of mind and finding your perfect vehicle, it's what they do. Car.com, we do the research, you do the driving. Get started getting that peace of mind today at Car.com.
Yo, this is your host, Sean V. Bradley. And I know you hear me every week on this radio show, but did you know that I'm the star of Vice TV's hit show, I Was a Teenage Felon, Season 2? It airs every Monday at 10 p.m. So make sure you check out my show, I Was a Teenage Felon, on Vice TV.
What's going on, everybody? This is L.A. Williams and the Against All Odds show. And of course, we got Sean V. Bradley. But as promised, we got my main man, Coach Burt, in the building. What's going on, Coach?
Glad to be here, man. Yeah. Thank you for having me. Honored to be with you.
Oh, man, I'm telling
you. Listen, we're glad to have you here. And just so everybody listening, again, this is not just like a guest on the show.
Right.
I had the honor to have Coach Burt as our keynote speaker at one of our conferences, the IS20G. And he was gracious enough to invite us to one of his events. So not only do we get to learn from him, but I can't wait to share some of the cool experiences that I had with him at our event. So Coach Burt, first of all, thank you so much for being part of our show and just blessing our audience with a lot of your wisdom. So let's kind of get into it, man. I wasn't exaggerating when I said before, you know, that you're a rock star. Now, I know you're very humble and things like that, but my show, so I'm giving you permission to kind of like flaunt or flex a little bit here. Tell us, like, you have been on some of the biggest stages in the world as a speaker. Can you share with our audience some of the, you know, some of the speakings that you do, like who your audience is and what type of speakings that you do?
Yeah, some of the biggest stages I've been on, obviously were 10X at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. That changed my life. We probably generated over $1 million for me speaking on that stage. I was just in Long Island this week. It was me, Grant Cardone, Tim Grover, and Brad Lee that just finished doing an event. I'm speaking next in October. It's me and Lou Holtz to a big audience, big real estate audience. So, you know, I really specialize in activating the prey drive in people, which is an instinct to see something and pursue it. And my coaching background of over 30 years really kind of positions me as a true coach, right? And that separates me from a lot of people that are out there in the marketplace. And man, because I got good concepts, I know how to package concepts, and I like to deliver, man. When I show up, just like at your conference, I want to deliver real value for people that people go, man, that was transformational, man. That was valuable. And so I get invited back a lot to speak at things because I try to deliver good value for people.
So with the name Coach Burt and with your background as the coach, I mean, to me, coaching is one thing, right? But you also have some other superpowers too. You're very gifted at not only marketing and branding and monetizing, but you're also gifted in teaching other people how to become, you know, a person of interest or like a monster producer. So I see, to me, that's not a coach. I think that you are super coach because you're coaching and you've got some high level skills. Am I correct or am I inaccurate? There's a difference between coaching versus like having skills in those other areas and being able to teach those skills.
Well, it was really Cardone who said to me, you're an incredible coach, but you have to learn how to market and promote. Okay. My primary skill is packaging, is deconstructing concepts, right? Codifying those concepts and then packaging and delivering those concepts in a way that gets people to take action. Okay. That's really my special skill set. Now, I happen to do that through speaking, Sean, coaching, training, licensing, creating concepts like greatness factories. But what I have found over the last 30 years is that 50% of my audience have a desire to coach. I don't care what they're doing for a living. I don't care if they're in the automotive industry or they're real estate agents or they're mortgage originators or they're insurance people. They have a desire to monetize a message. And because I've been doing it for so long and the people I have been coached by, I have learned how to take a simple concept, position by concept, and then make millions of dollars with that concept, whether that be through book deals, licensing deals, concepts, real estate plays, strategic partnerships. That is really my special skill set. Now, in the early days, I thought, man, I'm a great coach. But what I've learned is, at 45 years old, I've really learned what my real talent is, and it is codifying concepts into monetizable messages and concepts that move the needle for people.
Yo, that is crazy. And it's so spot on for our audience listening, is that you need to be hyper aware of what your superpower is or your expertise, because to your point, you know, until Cardone had said, hey, you're really good at this, but you need to get good at this, that feedback, I'm assuming, has changed your economic stature and your life, correct?
Yeah, because when I was a high school basketball coach, I felt like a level 10 person kind of stuck in a level 4 opportunity.
Mm.
I knew I had a bigger engine. I knew I was supposed to be doing bigger things.
Wait a minute, early LA. On, I got to steal that, coach. I love that. LA, we have a remix of that right there. He said, I was a level 10 person with a level 4 opportunity. How many people that are listening to this show feel the same way? How many out there feel that you are capable of more, you're destined for more, you should be doing more, but you're kind of stuck in the current situation? So part of what you do is, do you help people? And we're gonna talk about that more in the next segment, but I wanna know, is that part of what you do is teach people how to go from that level 4 opportunity reality they're in into breaking through their true potential?
Yes, I think that's a part of what my coaching program does. It expands your thinking. It challenges you to think bigger. It challenges you to focus on level 10 opportunities. It focuses you on blue marlin relationships versus bluegill relationships. And it just gets you thinking at a higher frequency. See, I was a high school basketball coach, and then I started writing books. And I was the only high school basketball coach writing books, by the way. And so I started to get asked to speak. I'd go speak to a company and they'd say, man, will you come back and coach us? And I'm like, well, what does that look like? And these companies started saying, well, we'll pay you 6 figures to make our people better. I was still using the same skill I was as a high school basketball coach. Okay. But now we generate more in a day than I was generating in a whole year.
Wow.
You know, when I was a high school coach. And it's all because I learned how to take my skill set, my unique talents, my unique gifting, and distribute it in a much bigger way to a much larger audience, to people who would really pay more money for it.
Mm, that's correct. So I heard you mention, what is that? Because I don't think I've ever heard that before. Blue marlin versus bluegill.
Well, I think a lot of people think of it this way. Money changes hands when problems are solved, right? The bigger the problem, the more money people pay to solve that problem. You can wake up and fish for bluegill problems in the local lake, or you can fish for blue marlin problems in the Gulf of Mexico. Mm. Some of my agreements today are, I come in to coach a company. Let's say a company's doing $650 million, a mortgage company. I come in and coach that company, bring my structure, bring my packaging. We get that company to $1 billion. I participate in the upside of everything above what they were currently doing. So instead of getting just a coaching fee, I get a percentage of override over all the sales, because I really could help move from $650 million to $1 billion based on my unique past, my unique experiences. That's more of a blue marlin problem than a bluegill problem, helping one mortgage originator produce more loans, right? I'm helping a whole company pick up a $250 million lift based on my skill set.
I got to ask you, because again, it's definitely a business model I've heard some high-level consulting companies use, but not a lot. So if I'm understanding, you don't get an upfront sometimes on a big deal like that, but you get definitely a piece of the net lift.
I heard him say you get both.
In most of my deals, there is a guarantee.
Okay, is a guarantee plus.
So there's a guarantee, but that guarantee could be absorbed by the override if I'm paid out in quarterly payments or anything like that. And the override should be big enough to absorb the guarantee. But there is a guarantee in case there's market changes, or there's a dip in the economy, or there's some uncontrollable factor.
I just out of curiosity, just between us and everybody in Washington, D.C. listening right here, okay, Coach, just out of curiosity, in this hypothetical situation, if you had a company doing $650 million and you got them to break $1 billion within whatever time period that you are projecting, how much would you have earned yourself or your company for that?
In a scenario like that, if I was getting 20-point override on a $250 million lift, I'd pick up another $500,000 or $600,000 to me.
Off of one client.
Yes.
So again, DC and America on the podcast listening to this, this man made $1 million in 1 hour doing a presentation at 10X, and he's got the skill set operating in the bigger pond, so to speak, metaphorically, to be able to justify, you know, making, you know, $500,000 or $600,000 off of one client. Now, again, I love that concept. You know, do you want to go after micro money or macro money? You know what I mean? Like, again, what weighs more, Coach Burt, a pound of rocks or a pound of feathers? They weigh the same. I love when I ask that question when I'm on stage. I ask the question, people say rocks, and I'm like, you really want to, you want to rethink that answer. Just take a second. A pound of rocks, a pound of feathers. So the same thing, if you have an 8-hour day, right? You know, if you spend all your time and energy and resources to make $1,000, or you could still spend that same 8-hour day, but to earn $500,000 or whatever it is. I mean, there's only 8 hours in a day, pound of rocks, pound of feathers. I'd rather have, you know, use my 8 hours that it could productively and constructively enough to be able to earn the maximum potential. So I love that. LA, any thoughts on that?
No, listen, man, you breaking it down and you're absolutely right, because people focus on the wrong thing, right? So they focus on the rocks or the feather, right? But they totally miss the measurement factor. They miss the pound, right? And I find that to be, you know, why a lot of people really don't succeed in life is because they don't measure what's going on. They just focus on, like, it's so crazy how many, obviously you guys all know, how many everybody want to make millions and millions of dollars, and you ask them how they going to do it, they're like, right? They don't have any measurements in their lives. So it's crazy.
Okay, so now I know your heart, you know, we're not hanging out every weekend and things like that, but I really believe you to be an authentic, genuine person. So money isn't everything. Is that an accurate statement to you?
It's accurate, yep.
Okay, good. So, but money gives us all opportunities, you know what I mean, that we wouldn't have before. So again, if you have an altruistic heart, you want to help people, well, prayers are good, but cash helps you go a little farther sometimes to be able to, you know, help people that are in need. So if money isn't the number one driving factor to you, because I think you, if I recall, you are a man of faith and you have a lot of integrity and family is very important. I follow you on social media. So, but that's the thing I think certain people are taught, Coach Burt, incorrectly, that people that are rich are shady or they're scumbags. They just steal people's other money, and you know, the rich get rich and the poor get poor, and all these negative cliches and stigmas. But I know you, so I want to talk about that for a second. If money isn't your number one factor, all these other things are important, why strive to make millions and millions of dollars?
Well, I want us to step back and think. In the Bible, a talent is said to be worth $360,000. Two talents would be $720,000. Three talents would be over $1 million. Well, let's step back and let's ask, why don't people make $360,000 with their talent? Why don't they make $720,000? Why don't they make $1 million? Well, it's because they don't know their talent. And they don't know how to package their talent. They don't know how to distribute their talent. See, money is a byproduct of value creation. The more value we create, the more people we help, the more money we make. It's just an exchange, right? But we also get paid in reputation. We get paid in referrals. We get paid in affirmation. We get paid in love. If you are not making enough money, it's typically a indicator that you are not distributing your God-given talents, in my opinion, at the highest level to the most people, okay? So when I look at money, I look at it as one way that we get paid. You got to remember, I came from being a high school basketball coach. I was making $24,000 a year. Okay. I spent 4 years in the prison system of Tennessee rehabilitating maximum security offenders. That's one job I took on as a coach. There ain't five people that do what I do for a living that would have done that, man.
Right.
It was one of the most valuable experiences of my life. Because when people say to me today, Sean, oh, I don't know if you're coaching or work here. I've been in maximum security prisons. I've been in everything you can be in, right?
Me too, but on the other side.
Yes, yes, exactly right. I mean, you know, so my point is, when it comes to money, money is an exchange. It's all it is, man. It's an exchange. It's a piece of paper, by the way. Yeah. So what drives me is not the money. To be honest with you, I got multiple houses. You know, I got a private jet. I got, you know, I have nice things, but I'm not motivated by that. I am motivated by the pursuit of my potential. I am motivated by big challenges. I am motivated by putting something in front of me and moving toward that, like a coach trying to win a championship. Okay. The money is a byproduct of the value creation and helping other people. Because let's say I do help the company get a $250 million lift in production. Man, they make a lot of money. They make a lot more money. And all I did was bring my talent to their equation. Okay. And that's really how you're rewarded, is you solve a problem. If you came to me and said, look, I can sell $1 million of your new book that's coming out next year, but I'd like to keep 50% of it, I'd be okay.
Yeah.
Because if you can move $1 million of my books, and I got $500,000 and you got $500,000, because it solves a problem for me. And when you solve a problem for other people, they don't mind giving you money to solve the problem. So I think that's how people need to think. What happens though is people solve very small problems. Mm. And then they meet small outcomes, right? The salesperson that sells one thing and gets a small commission is one thing. If you solve a bigger problem, man, you're going to make more money.
I'll give you an example. We have Lightspeed platforms.
Yep.
Again, we could sell, in my industry, we sell our platform for $19.95. That's like the sticker price. I usually average about $14.95, about $1,500 a month for a single account for a year contract. So I could sell onesies and twosies, or I could find a dealer group that has 20 rooftops. And again, I get it. But Coach Rick, let's take a step back, okay? Because I agree with everything you said, but I think that we need to hit for our audience, you know, the people out there that feel, because whatever, they're conditioned incorrectly from their experience as a child or their loved ones around them, that it's not okay to want money. You know what I mean? Because if you want to be rich, if you want to make a lot of money, that you're evil or you're shady or you're ripping people off. I think that everything you said was accurate about they don't know what their value is and how to package that. But I think there's also a prerequisite thing. People need to believe that it is okay to want more, you know what I mean? To want to have more time with their kids, to provide more experiences with your loved ones, to be able to help people that you care about, you know, to help people in your community. And so can you talk about that for a minute? Do you agree with me, like from your walks of life, that some you come across people that have said, like, you know, I don't want to be that because rich people are a-holes, or, you know, rich people do this or that. Do you agree with what I'm saying?
And I do agree. I think you mentioned a key word here. Okay. And you said the word conditioned. Okay. Conditioning happens very early in life. You and I are both disciples of Covey. You know, Covey really changed our life. That was who was the biggest influence on me from 18 to 25 years old. First self-help book I've ever read, changed my whole life. And Covey talked a lot about environmental scripting, psychological scripting, right? The physiological scripting, the environments we're in. I grew up with a single mom, right? Poor, not poor, but we didn't have any money, right? We vacationed in the same place every year. Mm-hmm. Stayed at the Best Western because it had an indoor swimming pool. Mm-hmm. Okay. In life, that made me want to go out and get it. I want a better life for you, mom. I want a better life for my family. I want a better life for my kids. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It actually was a good thing for me because it activated my prey drive. Nice. Okay. And that's really what we're trying to do here, is activate a drive in you for not just more money, man, more potential, more impact, yeah, more people you can help. Right. That's the bigger play here.
Absolutely. You are on it, Coach Burden, man. Listen, I actually ran a room on Clubhouse called the I Want More Room and met some phenomenal people, man. So let's talk about having more as soon as we come back.
Against All Odds
is on your radio.
Vice TV presents
I Was a Teenage Felon,
Season 2, starring Sean V. Bradley.
He's the king of clubs.
At 19 years old, part of a multi-million dollar international drug ring. Arrested by the Secret Service, DEA.
This was the largest ecstasy case in United States history.
And somehow this dude becomes a best-selling author and a mega millionaire when he gets out of prison.
Find out how only on Vice TV's I Was a Teenage Felon, Mondays at 10 p.m.
Exclusively on Vice TV.
From nothing to everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is L.A. Williams, and we're back on the Against All Odds radio show. And listen, y'all not going to want to hear my take on it, because I don't believe that, you know, it is okay to want more. I believe we should be obligated to want it. Like, I think wanting more is like an obligation. I think I have an obligation to be successful. Because why? Because people think that blind people can't do it, right? People think that black people can't do it. People think that Jewish people can't do it, especially when you're black, blind, and Jew all together. I mean, it's like, you know what I'm saying? There are things that people think that I need. It's my responsibility to break that you know, that stigma. I got to get it out. Listen, I'm from the hood, right? Listen, people don't realize that someone like me that comes from where I come from in North Philly can be as successful as I have become and what I'm on my way to. It's just ridiculous. So again, I always believe it's just been my responsibility, even with my marriage, right? It's my responsibility to have a great marriage. All of that stuff is important to me, Sean. I don't know about you.
No, Elliot, I love it. And what Coach Burt said, what you said just a moment ago before the break, I would believe 1,000% about it's not just about the money. The money is the exchange. However, I want to also add that, and going back to the whole Coveyism type stuff, is that, again, one of the things that I really resonates with me is that putting first things first, okay? Being careful of distractions disguised as opportunities. We are blessed. If you have faith, in a higher power, or you don't, I'm not going to get into that conversation here for the audience. But regardless, we're only on this planet for a short amount of time. This whole COVID pandemic really made that aware to a lot of people. And if we only have on average 76 summers, like Dr. Covey has said before, on average, we're only given 76 summers, then we need to utilize those opportunities, those 86,400 seconds to the maximum ability. And if we are complacent with mediocrity, if we're complacent with the level 4 opportunity that we are, we find ourselves confined in, we're not going to be able to maximize those 86,000 seconds, 400 seconds. We're not going to be able to maximize those 76 summers. And so I think it's very important that, to LA's point, we should be obligated internally to have that drive. And that's what I wanted to ask you, because you said something that you've said a bunch of times. I know it, wink, wink, but I want to tell the audience here. You say something that I feel like it's a Coach Burt trademark, pray drive. Okay, can you explain what that means? Because that's what I'm talking about here, is it needs to be activated, because we only have a minuscule in the whole universe of time that we're on this planet. So we need to maximize their time with our people, our loved ones, our family, our friends, our clients. And how do you do that? Partially, money helps you have these opportunities to be able to have experiences or take off of work so you could enjoy your kids' football game, etc. So, Coach Burt, please tell us about this prey drive, man, because I'm excited about it.
Prey drive is prevalent in animals, specifically a dog. A dog has a prey drive. And if you look that definition up, it is a dog's ability to stalk, capture, kill prey. Dogs are always pursuing something, right? Well, when I heard that concept at a workshop, I had a big revelation. That's a sudden dramatic moment. I looked at my wife and I said, humans have a prey drive, but it's not to stalk, capture, and kill prey. It's to pursue, it's to see something in the mind, that's the imagination, or with the eyes, and have the persistence and the intensity to pursue it. Activating that prey drive is what I've been doing my whole life as a coach. See, that gave me a framework, Sean, to say this is what I've been doing my whole life, which is activating the prey drive in a human to pursue something. What? Their potential, a bigger future, more impact, a bigger play, whatever, more money, whatever it is they want to pursue. That's part of what I've been doing for 30 years, man, is breaking down the psychology. With Covey, he showed us the tools: body, mind, heart, spirit, 4 parts of a person's nature. How do you go deep with the person? You touch the heart and the spirit, right? And so that training early in my life, combined with my athletic background of coaching kids, combined with my work from everything from prison systems to corporate America, man, I came to one thing. This is what I do, man. I activate the prey drive in people. Okay, and that's what the new book, Flip the Switch, is all about.
That's what I was going to say. You took the words. I was going to cue you up with that. So, like, the whole concept is literally flipping a switch to be able to activate that prey drive. I love the title of the book. So tell us a little about the book, and when is it coming out? How do people get it?
Well, they can pre-order it right now on Amazon. It's already up on Amazon, called Flip the Switch. It will be out in 2022. We're still waiting on the publisher to come up with the exact dates. But the whole book is dedicated to one thing: how do we activate that drive in you? I've seen it happen over and over. 2 of my employees here on my team came to my boot camp. I do call Flip the Switch. Both of those people were looking for something. They knew they had talent. They knew they had potential. My wife did drugs every day from 21 to 24. I didn't know her during that period of her life. She came to one of my workshops at 30 years old. It activated her prey drive. She quit the dead end job. She got her life together. She's now writing her own books. We're now doing couples retreats. She's now leading the health division of our company. It's the same girl that did drugs every day for 3 years. What happened to her, man? Her prey drive was activated. So I can give you example after example after example of people going on at a nominal level in life, a very comfortable level. They don't even know what they don't know. And me come into their life and boom, wake them up to something much bigger. And that's really what the whole book is dedicated to, is the five activators of prey drive, the three phases of prey drive. How do you do it? Why do people become complacent?
Can you give our audience a little bit of a sample, almost like a live, you know, a trailer, if you would, of the book and the concept. So if somebody's going to order Flip the Switch, like I am in LA Will, et cetera, is what are some of the focus points or the learning points in the book? Like, can you give us some examples?
Well, the learning points is, why should you be interested in flipping the switch? Number one, why should you get interested in your potential? You know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs,
absolutely,
self-actualization. Why should we be interested in it? So I go into why should we be interested in this? Why should we flip the switch? One life, one human life. That's it, right? You either regret, you don't, you do something big, you don't, right? I've given the eulogy at two different funerals where I didn't have anything to say. They didn't do anything. They didn't have any dreams. They didn't impact anybody. They were just a good person, man. That left a significant impact on me, because you don't know what it's like giving the eulogy at a funeral when you don't have anything to say. There's 30 people in the audience because they didn't impact anybody, right? Yeah. And I'm like, man, we got to activate this drive. So when I'm speaking on this subject, I talk about the importance of being interested in your potential. Then I go into the three phases of prey drive. There's activation, there is persistence, and there's intensity. So a prey drive has three components to it. It's got to be turned on. Switch got to be flipped. But that's the easy part, in my opinion. Like, somebody can get their prey drive activated by watching this interview, listen to this interview, right? Listen to this podcast, listen to the radio show. That's one thing. But then there's got to be a persistence to working the prey drive every day. And that's where people fall off the wagon. They don't want to prospect. They don't want to see something through its conclusion. They don't go the distance. They start and quit, start and quit. Then we move to intensity. And that's really what separates me from a lot of people, is the ability to attack something, right, with an intensity. That's a prey drive. The animal wakes up in the jungle and sees what it wants, and it pursues it with an intensity, right? Most business people operate at a very nominal level, very ordinary frequency, so they don't have the intensity. Then we get into the activators of prey drive. Like, what flips the switch in people? Competition, fear of loss, exposure to something, environment. Embarrassment is an activator of prey drive, right? Like, all of these things will activate that prey drive. It's different things for different people. And so that's really what the book is about. It's like, man, let's figure out what is your activator. Let's figure out why you should activate it. Man, let's find another gear. Let's find another gear in you.
I'm just amazed. LA, this is pretty crazy. I'm still like, because I know your wife from social media and the conversations we had. Right. I didn't know the background, you know, and so to hear that evolution so quick from going to one of your boot camps, I mean, that's a testimony in itself. So God bless, man. That's cool. And you also just had a child not too long ago, correct?
Yeah, I've got a 14-month-old son named Elias, and I've got a 9-year-old daughter named Ella Grace. And Ella Grace is just like me, got a high D for, you know, firstborn, Leo, very strong-willed, be a great salesman, great attorney, great debater. Like, she's going to be something because she's real passionate. Elias is more free-flowing, fun. It's hard to tell his whole personality now, but he's a happy guy. You know, he's happy all the time, smiles a lot. He's always up to something, like, but it's a good kid. So he takes a lot after his mother, because she's more in the background to me. She's not as out front as I am, but she's got this great disposition and great perspective on life.
So God bless again on the family. And I just watch all the stuff that's going on between these events, the retreat, the family. And again, you are living an incredible life, you know, but it's also a purpose-driven life. And again, I think that's really important, because if people do things for just superficial reasons, you know, I don't think that's a path for longevity. But when you're doing something that has meaning and passion behind it, equals longevity. What are your thoughts on that?
I think I think this concept of building your life around your primary skill to see, I'm constantly in a redesign mode, restructuring my business around what I love to do. Right. As I sit down and design 2022, the first question me and my team will ask is, what do you want to do? I see myself more like an artist, more like an athlete, more like an entertainer, right? I'm a creative. Okay. All I want to do now at this point in my life is coach, speak, coach, create, own businesses versus be the business. So, you know, I'm kind of moving to a different phase of my life where I like the speaking, I like the coaching, but I want to do it in certain environments. I want to do it with certain groups of people. And I want to design my whole life around my talent. And I think I'll be happier. I think I'll have more joy. I think we'll make more money. I think, you know, if you can really think of your life, the artist shows up and performs. They don't drive the bus. They don't sell the tickets. They don't sell the popcorn. They don't sell the shirts. They don't set up the stage. They show up and for 2 hours, man, they give you everything they got. And that's why they're the greatest. That's why they make the most money. The athlete shows up and performs for 4 hours on Sunday to catch the football because that's what he's been trained to do. That is his unique skill set. And I think as business owners, we got to think like that. Build a life and build a business around our talents.
I love it. So let's go in a different direction because you're obviously very successful. Getting somebody motivated, the first habit from Covey is being proactive. So let's say they've got that. Let's say that they're starting a business. What I find is that a lot of people, unfortunately, because our educational system are financially illiterate. They're not very skilled on once they get a little cheddar in their hand, when they get a little money, dineros, pesos, whatever, they squander it on things. So was that hard for you to go from humble beginnings, making $24,000 a year to becoming a multimillionaire? Because I know for me, I'm from the hood, you know what I mean? From Queens and Brooklyn. So when I got some money, I bought like black diamonds and rims and things like that until I understood about, you know, assets and liabilities and passive income. So how did you handle the progression for managing your money? Was it always been a saver or did you get like consultants or what was your strategy?
When I was 31 years old, I realized, man, I just retired from being a basketball coach. I never thought about money from 19 to 31. I was a basketball coach. If you would have came to me, Sean, and said, man, you got all this talent, all this potential, you'd be making millions of dollars. I'd be like, I would have probably been to you like, why not need millions of dollars, man? I'm happy. I'm coaching. I love what I'm doing. Like, I didn't even get the concept. At 31 years old, I started my business. I retired from athletic coaching. I no longer had a paycheck. I no longer had any insurance. Now it's just me taking my talent to the market. And all I had was confidence, man. That's all I had was confidence that I could do it. And I said, man, I need to grow my financial IQ. So I went down to the bookstore and I bought a book called How to Grow Your Financial IQ by Robert Kiyosaki. And I bought Cash Flow Quadrant, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and all the books. And I go, okay, I get it. And I said, ads. When I make money, I need to go purchase things that make more money, right? And nobody ever told me that. And so I didn't think at all about money. And one day I woke up and I had $100,000 in my bank account. And then I had $200,000. And then I had $500,000. And then I woke up one day and had $1 million in my bank account. And I'm like, man, what am I doing? Like, how did this happen? It's because I never focused on the money. I just focused on going out and helping as many people as I could. And I just, the next thing you know, I got $1 million of cash. And I'm sitting there like, what do I need to be doing? So then I started buying real estate. At that time, it was single family residential. I didn't know any different. I bought single family residential. I sat on it for 3 or 4 years. Then I sold all of it and at a big profit. I took that money and started buying retreat sites. And like the Big Lodge I have in Tennessee that we do retreats and boot camps with. Then the house in Florida that we do retreats and boot camps at. And I started buying these assets that are appreciating in value. And some of them we rent when we're not using, but for the most part, the big money for me is made when, you know, we do a couples retreat at my lodge in at my house in Florida, and we get 20 couples at $4,000 a piece. We make 80 grand to go down to my house in Florida and spend 3 days with couples.
Yeah.
Right. And I do that five times and it's 400 grand.
Slow down. You're killing them right now, coach. So you make $80,000 by inviting people over your house for the weekend.
To a couples retreat. Yep.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And what's crazy is not only do you make that income for there, but the property that you own is appreciating, especially in a market right now. You know, not that you would sell it because this is, you'd probably get a ton for it, but you know, I mean, then we're going to put all that big piles of cash, right?
Yeah, the property I bought in Florida for that purpose, we bought it $3.35 million. Within an hour of owning it, my real estate agent said you could sell it for $4.1 million right now. I could have made $800,000 by turning around and just flipping and selling without even doing anything. My wife would have killed me if I did that because she loved the house. But here's the deal. I am a master at taking liabilities and converting them to assets. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. When I spoke at the event last week with Cardone and Grover in Long Island, I took a G450. I charged $10,000 a person to go with me. One guy paid $25,000 for him and his team. We generate almost $100,000 of revenue just to fly with me to Long Island. Okay. Then we got in front of 800 people. We had a back end offer of $1,000. I think 46 people took that. That's 46 more thousand. Then we're retargeting those people for me to go back to Long Island in a few weeks. We're trying to get to 100. That'd be 100,000. So in essence, a trip to Long Island could have been worth $200,000 for me to go speak for an hour. Now, this is how we take liability. See, most people say, well, the jet costs you money. No, if you know how to use the jet, you take your top clients with you. Listen, if you're flying, I can't tell you how many people, Sean, have been flying with me on my jet that are my current clients. And 30,000 feet in the air go, you know what? Go ahead and sign me up for a bigger coaching package. Like I'd like to take, right? Because they're thinking so much bigger. The jet sells them, man. I don't have to sell them. The jet sells them. So this is the way you turn liabilities into assets.
Wow. Did you buy the jet before or after connecting with Cardone?
After.
Ah, it's funny because me and Grant have talked about this before, like in person and on the show. And he said that when he got the first jet, it was, you know, his accountants was like, look, you could pay all these millions, tens of millions of dollars in taxes or buy a jet. And so he, like all of his stuff, he's also very good like you with turning liabilities into assets. So I just think that's absolutely brilliant. Brilliant, 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 brother.
Phenomenal stuff, y'all. Listen, Sean. Listen, the orange jet, it's on its way, brother. Against all odds. We'll be right back.
Did you know that Car.com is a website to connect consumers like you, me, our parents, basically everybody to local car dealers? Car.com helps us find that perfect vehicle. From new vehicles to certified pre-owned, Car.com will help you find the best vehicle match. Car.com practically started the online car shopping experience. Peace of mind and finding your perfect vehicle, it's what they do. Car.com, we do the research, you do the driving. Get started getting that peace of mind today at Car.com.
Vice TV presents
I Was a Teenage Felon,
Season 2, starring Sean V. Bradley.
He's the king of clubs.
At 19 years old, part of a multi-million dollar international drug ring. Arrested by the Secret Service, DEA.
This was the largest ecstasy case in United States history.
And somehow this dude becomes a best-selling author and a mega millionaire when he gets out of prison.
Find out how only on Vice TV's I Was a Teenage Felon, Mondays at 10 p.m.
Exclusively on Vice TV.
You know, I like listening to shows like this because you get all types of cool advice on business, parenting, just about everything. But if you're looking for some coaching that applies directly to you, then go to meetwiththemaster.com and book some time on my calendar.
From nothing to everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back on the Against All Odds radio show. And man, I'm telling you, we cooking with gas right now. We showing folks how to get jets up in this joint, Sean. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So Coach Bert, on the whole line of Cardone, being the Discovery Channel's undercover billionaire and all that stuff and making all the money that he has, a lot of people ask him the question that I asked him on air. I said, Grant, like, What is the wealth strategy to become extremely wealthy? And he said, first, Sean, people need to invest in themselves, invest in their education, invest in finding a coach, you know, whether that's a workshop, a book, a training course, a mentor, etc. Invest in yourself because you could never lose because that equity you keep forever. Next thing he said is after you have invested in yourself and you're creating a business or revenue, feed the business. You know, don't turn around and be stingy to the business and try to spend money on other things, even if you think that they're investments. Grow the business and feed the business. So after you invest in the business, if you've got excess cash, you want to focus on assets. And for you, that's exactly what you just said, you know, that you did. You got the education first, then you got the knowledge on how to use money and learn from money. Then you started buying, you know, assets. But my thing is, you said something a little bit different. You said turn liabilities into assets, and you gave an example. So in break, LA and I were just speaking to you, and he had mentioned, look, there's people that don't have a jet. How do they get a jet? You know, that they're successful, they could be multimillionaires. Like, I'm a multimillionaire with multiple companies. I don't own a jet, and I travel like crazy. I just never thought about it before, to be honest with you, because if I don't do research, I don't know enough about it. Maybe I should have had a jet by now and turned it into that. Or I love the idea with the retreat thing. I mean, like, geez, that's a crazy, you know, story, my friend. 80 grand for having people come to your house. So flush out the concept of turning, you know, liabilities into assets, and help us figure out, like, what are we doing wrong here? You know what I mean? To get a jet and having retreats.
Well, let's go to LA's point. I have everything I do is based on a belief. And I'm very clear in what I believe, okay? I believe money doesn't buy you freedom, skills buys you freedom, because skills get you the money. So the stronger your skill set is, so if I'm a guy out there, like I was, making $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year, I improve my skill, I solve a bigger problem, I make more money. If you're a sales guy in my sales department over here behind me, I got a guy in there right now, said, man, I got 4-3 kids, I got to make more money. Okay, you got to skill up. You got to get better at conversion. You got to talk to more people. Like, that's the way you get your income up. Now, in a business, it's the same way. I 100% agree with Cardone. When I was 25 years old, I wanted to skill up by being certified in the 7 habits of highly effective people. And I thought that would change my life. Okay. But here's my problem. I didn't have $2,500, right? I was making $25,000 a year. I went to my mom, said, can I borrow the money? It's going to change my life. And she gave me the money, and I paid her back $50 increments. That one course helped me to master those 7 habits, which has helped me to make millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. So when I hear people say, I don't have the money to come to the workshop or get coached by you or come to your conference, I'm like, no, man, it's like Tim Story says, sometimes you got to live out of your sacrifice before you live out of your surplus.
Mm.
I got to sacrifice something, man. You can find the money to get the knowledge, to grow your skills, to make more money. Okay. Now, once you start making money and you do have that excess cash that you mentioned, once you've invested in you've invested in your business and you have profit, you have excess cash, then you got to make a decision what your strategy is to build wealth. Okay. Where Grant has bought apartments, I'm building greatness factories, because what I know how to do is get people together and get them excited. And when they get excited, they invest more money. And that turns into one deal. Because here's what's going to happen to that couples retreat. We may make 80 grand on the front, but those people are going to get down there. They're going to get around me and my wife. And they're going to say, you know what? We want you to coach our company. We want to invest with you in greatness factories. We want to be part of this. We want to be part of this, right? Because that's what I know how to do. He knows apartments. I know bringing people together, bringing value, getting them excited about something. So whatever your strategy is, I've chosen to go the retreat route, buy assets that appreciate, use those in my coaching business. You just got to decide what your strategy is for wealth. Now, that doesn't mean at some point I won't buy apartments. It doesn't mean at some point I won't get involved in other businesses. But right now I'm a partner in multiple businesses where I have either equity share of that business, I sprinkle my little special to it, or I'm, you know, on revenue shares or affiliate partnerships that could produce hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. So I think you got to first find your talent, like we talked about. Then you got to distribute that talent, learn how to package that talent, learn how to market that talent, learn how to sell that talent, and then get some excess cash and say, this is how I'm going to build my wealth.
I love it. LA, did that answer you, my friend?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that so many people, and you know, I ask a lot of questions for the audience. I think that so many people don't see themselves as building something, right? You got to understand that, you know, you got to play with the little Legos, right? And then you can kind of graduate to the big Legos. You see what I'm saying? And yeah, I just think that so many times we don't get that. And then we discount our little Legos, right? You discount the fact that you just flipped, you know, $100 into two, or you discount, you just think that that's small potatoes. But you got to understand the skill set, as Coach Burt just said, is what's going to take you to the next level. If you could do that with 100, you could do that with 100 million.
Yeah. My first coaching job, I made $199.50 for a year. Okay, but I treated it like I was coaching in the NBA. Every day, your current role is an interview for your next role. Huh. Okay. My next job was, hey, we're going to pay you $2,000 a year, $2,000 a year. That's a 10 times increase, 200 to 2,000. Then I got the head coaching job. I made 24,000. I went from 2,000 to 24, folks. Then I started making more in an hour than I was making in a month through speaking. Same concept. So I started just like LA said, man, I started very small, did great, got more.
Say it again.
Comparable to talent in the market.
Yeah, say it again. Your current role is an interview. You said, say it again.
Every day in your current role is an interview for your next role. I wouldn't have spoken to 10X if Cardone didn't see me for 6 years in other environments. Like I didn't, you don't luck onto that stage, man. So it's one of those things that every time I perform or speak, somebody's watching. Every podcast I do, people are watching. This one interview may turn into six speaking engagements of people that see me. Who knows what Sean and I could do together after this? We don't know. Right. We don't know until we get in the room, man, which is why you got to say yes, man. The answer is yes. Now tell me what the question is.
I love it.
So, Coach Burt, I got to tell you, I was really impressed. I brought some of my team members to the workshop that you had invited us to, and there was so much knowledge and so much value. So I highly recommend anybody, you know, that's listening to this. I'm telling you, I personally have been to Coach Burt's workshop, and it's phenomenal. But one thing that sticks in the top of my mind, I'd like you to talk about while we have a couple more minutes left in the interview with you today, is the allocating your time. And you had this whole concept with, like, for me and for all business owners, we have X amount of clients, but not all clients are equal. You know, as far as human beings, relationship wise, of course they are. You know what I mean? We're good people and we care about everybody. But if you've got a client that's you know, an amazing pleasure to work with, and you are emotionally excited to work with them, and then they generate the most revenue, then you should treat those people a little bit different. Can you explain that concept? Because I thought it was brilliant the way that you explained it and laid it out.
You know, all relationships are not equal. And this is why on airplanes they have first class and they have coach. This is why they have VIP areas and not VIP areas, is that some people pay more money for your attention or for your time or for, right? And they should get more preferential treatment. Everybody's important. But when you're running a coaching business like I am, we have people paying $500,000 all the way to people paying, you know, $100,000 all the way to people paying $83 all the way to people buying my book for $9.95. So at all those people are important. Okay. But there's only so much bandwidth in a day that you can focus on so many people, even if you have keep hiring people and hiring people and hiring people and hiring people. Right. And so I think you got to just ask this simple question, man, how do I bring as much value as I can dollar for dollar as anybody out there? Right. How do you move the needle in another person's life? You know, I call a lot of people that buy my book on my website or one of my books for $9.95. And when I have any free time at all, I just pick up the phone and call those people or send them a video message. And man, that means the world to them. You know why? Because no other authors do that. No other authors take a minute to say, thank you for buying my book, man. I appreciate you. You know, I wanted to let you know, man, I hope to see you something in the future. Like, they just don't do that. So to me, my whole strategy is add as much value to as many people as I can around planet Earth in as many ways as I can. And that's going to take time and it's going to take an investment. There's no way around it, man. And when you pour in, it's going to pour back to you in some kind of way. That's my personal belief.
Mm.
Yeah.
Man, again, I want to just also say, when you were the keynote at our IS20G event, I think it was IS20G 13, standing ovation. You blew people away, because not only you are an amazing speaker and motivator as a coach, but it's just so authentic. And when you are passionate and you're authentic, people will feel that, and I think they'll react a certain way. So, Coach, I got to tell you, I've thoroughly enjoyed our interview and having this opportunity to kind of pick your brain and share all your wisdom. What I like to do is, like, unless my co-host over here or my sidekick, I like to say, kidding, LA. Now, my co-host, unless he's got something he wants to add, I would love to be able to just ask you some, like, cool questions. Like, man, just like, you know, you are a badass rock star, but, you know, what is some of the things that people might not know about Coach Burt? And I'll go first, because this is a little embarrassing, but it's true. I'm a yo-yo master. So I am actually very good with yo-yos. Most people would not know that, but I can do mad tricks and stuff like that. And I'm a break dancer. So again, what are some things that people might not know about you, even your clients? Fun stuff.
I think a lot of people don't know that I'm kind of quiet into myself. Like, people see me as a huge extrovert, but I love solitude. I love being to myself. I'm a creative, and creatives need space where they don't talk to people. They don't see people. So I can go on vacation by myself. When I'm in big rooms, I like to keep to myself. That's different than me walking in and being the main coach. And, you know, but a lot of people see me as a total extrovert. So I tell them I have some inward things that kind of shocks people.
I would have never pegged that, because you're so outgoing, charismatic, and you're always on the go and stuff. So, all right, that's a good one. Let's digress to, we both have a passion.
I'm about to steal mine right now, because a lot of people don't know that I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. Like, me and my wife, man, every daggum year we go to Universal and spend time on Island Adventure and Diagon Alley and in Universal Studios. So that's probably one of the big things about me people don't know.
So is there a particular book you love most?
No, it's the entire story. So, okay. And that's what I had to kind of break down, because there's some people who watch the movies, and even we had somebody else saying that they watched the first movie and it was boring. I'm like, I agree, right? The first movie is boring, but the first book is captivating. So we got one more minute left. I just kind of want to find out, how can people get more of Coach Burt? What, you know, where can they go? What's the website? What do we do?
Yeah, go to coachburt.com, B-U-R-T as in tiger.com. I put out a tremendous amount of stuff on YouTube, daily videos on Facebook, Instagram. You can follow everything I do. You know, I try to be as visible as I can. That's an area I can always get better at. But man, I try to pump out as much content and document what I'm doing every day with coaching thousands of people around the world.
Wow, that is absolutely phenomenal. So listen, everybody, if you're not driving, right, pull out your phone, go to coachburt.com and just scoop up whatever. Get on the email, permission-based list, whatever he got. Man, you want to make sure that you get connected with that, because I'm telling you, it's been a pleasure knowing him in person. And listen, maybe that could be you one day. Super excited to be a part of this show, y'all. Against all odds. Talk to y'all next week. It's the third book, by the way, that's the best.
Hey world, this is Sean V. Bradley, and if you need to buy a new or pre-owned car and want to have the best, most convenient experience ever, get full transparency, the absolute lowest price, no stress, best customer service, well, I highly recommend Car.com.
Vice TV presents
I Was a Teenage Felon,
Season 2, starring Sean V. Bradley.
He's the king of clubs.
At 19 years old, part of a multi-million dollar international drug ring. Arrested by the Secret Service, DEA.
This was the largest ecstasy case in United States history.
And somehow this dude becomes a best-selling author and a mega millionaire when he gets out of prison.
Find out how only on Vice TV's I Was a Teenage Felon, Mondays at 10 p.m.
Exclusively on Vice TV.
Did you know that Car.com is a website to connect consumers like you, me, our parents, basically everybody, to local car dealers? Car.com helps us find that perfect vehicle. From new vehicles to certified pre-owned, Car.com will help you find the best vehicle match. Car.com practically started the online car shopping experience. Peace of mind and finding your perfect vehicle, it's what they do. Car.com. We do the research, you do the driving. Get started getting that peace of mind today at Car.com.
You're listening to WORK Radio. The only place success comes before work is in the dictionary.
The Against All Odds radio show comes to you every week from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. If you have a question about the show or would like the chance to become a guest and share your success story, we would love to talk to you. You can reach us directly at 856-546-2440 or email us at AgainstAllOddsRadioShow@gmail.com. This program is a presentation of Synergy Records, streaming live coast to coast and downloadable everywhere podcasts are found. The Against All Odds Radio Show is produced by Sean V. Bradley, CSP. Production and engineering by L.A. Williams. The Against All Odds Radio Show is hosted every week by L.A. Williams and the millionaire car salesman himself, Mr. Sean V. Bradley, CSP. Plus, don't forget, Sean's best-selling book, Win the Game of Googleopoly, is available right now on Amazon. Thanks for listening to the Against All Odds radio show, and remember, where I come from, money provides options. The Against All Odds radio show is sponsored in part by Scarfood, Car.com, and Dealer Synergy.